Dumb, dumb, dumb. You know, we're doing this series. You know, I love church. It's Sunday, and that's my favorite I'm a Dummy video. The whole point of the series is, you know what? We do dumb things. We do dumb things, but God's word and God's teaching, you know, if we just kind of build our lives on the principles of God, you know, we have all these self-help books. You can go down the library and you find all these self-help stuff. But none of those books really deal with the essence of what the problem is. And this morning, I'm going to really get into really the essence of the struggle that we have. And what do you do when you wrestle with life and I bought a garbage bag here. And this is garbage I gathered this morning out of the bathrooms and stuff in the church, just so you know. You know, so I gathered up the garbage. What do you do with the garbage in your life? What do you do when you feel guilty? What do you do when you just can't seem to get over some of that past? What do you do when you're struggling and you're looking forward, but you keep looking back? How do we deal with our past? And how do we deal with life? And how do we conquer these sins in our life? And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about. What do you do with that past that you just can't seem to get over? If you look at the title, I'm going to encourage you to get your little outline out of your worship folder. And how can I forgive myself? I want to talk about guilt this morning. I want to talk about guilt. So I want to give you a definition and kind of start there. If you look at the outline, it's written there. Guilt, the fact of state of having committed an offense, crime, violation, or wrong, especially against moral or penal law. A feeling of responsibility, a remorse for some offense, crime, wrong, etc., whether real or imagined. You ever have some guilt in your life that you just can't seem to shake? A past, a story, an event, a word, something you did, something maybe that happened to you, and that you wrestle with this guilt. I want to talk about this. How do we forgive ourselves? You can't move on. You can't move on in life until you deal with those things in our lives. And I want to make sure I understand that we're all sinners. We all mess up. We all do dumb things. We all say dumb things. We all have those experiences in our life. What do we do when we can't seem to get past? Maybe you have a child. Maybe you're a parent. You have a child that was raised and you're talking with them. They just can't seem to get over some of their past. Maybe it's you. What do we do when we can't get over that? What do we do? And so I just want to kind of deal with that. And I want to begin with, if you look at this, I put it this way. The result of sin is guilt. All right? The result of sin. If you sin, you're going to feel guilty. All right? Now I want to ask you this. Is guilt good or bad? Yes. Is the right answer. Because if you don't feel guilty, I got a word for you. It's called sociopath. All right? You know, if you do wrong and you don't feel guilty about it, you have no conscience about doing wrong, that's called a sociopath. You watch the news. We see it on the news all the time. Somebody goes in and murders somebody. I'm watching the news and some guy walks in and murders these six people in this house in Houston. Anybody watching the news on that? It's like, what? I mean, kids, four kids. You know, I think the youngest was 4 years old. How do you, so if you don't feel guilty, I'm going to tell you, you got a problem, all right? But what do you do when you feel that guilt? What happens when you feel that guilt? How do you deal with it? Because we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all do dumb things. And what do we do with it? What do we do when we get up and you said something to your wife, or maybe you said something to your husband, or you said something to your child and you get up the next morning and you go, man, I shouldn't have said that. I went a little too far. Oh, it didn't come out the way I really meant it. And you start feeling, anybody ever feel guilty about stuff like that? Or maybe something in your past, maybe it's been 10 years or maybe it's been 20 years ago. Maybe it's been longer than that. Maybe there's stuff in your past and you just can't seem to shake it. And what I want to tell you, if you look at your outline here, I really want to be real specific. There's some results of guilt. Look at what the scripture says here. I am ashamed by God, my God. I'm embarrassed to look at you. Our sins have piled up over our heads. Our guilt is so overwhelming that it reaches heaven. He's saying, I got this stuff and I've tried to leave it. I've tried to put it behind me. I tried to ignore it. I got this garbage in my life. And I'm trying to avoid it, but you know what? If you leave garbage long enough, it's going to what? Anybody? It's going to stink a little bit, isn't it? Anybody ever feel your life stinks? You know, you feel it just, it's not working. You know, it's just not right. And we try to ignore it. You know, we try to ignore it. We try to avoid it, you know. But it's always hanging out there. You ever find that guilt that just pops up at those inconvenient times? You know? Inopportune times that thing you said and you're doing something over here and that thing you said so long ago, all of a sudden it's just right up top of the head again. How do we deal with this? See, I want to tell you, guilt can destroy you. Yeah, I like that passage. I'm ashamed. Anybody ever been ashamed? As I read, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. You know, I circled those words on mine because when I mess up, you know, we're showing these I'm a dummy videos. You know, and we made these. It's been about 10 years. Some of you might recognize some of the people in those. It's been like 10 years. And we made these videos. I'm embarrassed by them, all right? You know? Especially there's one coming up, the singing one. Everybody wants to, some of you remember the singing one. I hate that one, all right? I don't mind the cooking one. That one's, I was dumb. Yeah. I'll fix, anybody want me to fix breakfast for you? Yeah? We do things. You know, I did. I tried as I went through these I'm a dummy videos. I tried to find it. I said, that's one I don't want to use. I don't want to use it. I don't want to use it. I got to use it. Yeah. What do we do with that stuff in our lives? Because if you don't deal with it, it's not going to go away. It's just going to sit there. And the longer it sits there, the worse it's going to get. And so I kind of put some results here. Here's some results of guilt. I like the passage here. Look at what it says here in Psalms 38:4. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a heavy load. It's more than I can bear. You know, all that stuff, that past, those experiences, that trash, that garbage, that words, that event, that action, that dumb thing I did, that sin, it's a heavy load. I can't seem to shake it. I can't seem to get rid of it. What do you do when I can't forgive myself? How do I deal with it? But I want to make sure you understand there's some results. If you do not deal with sin, I gave you four things that guilt will do. Four things that guilt will produce in your life. If you're looking at your outline, I put it this way. Guilt kills our spiritual life. If you do not deal with that sin and that guilt that's in your life, it will separate you from God. Sin separates you from God. All right. It will put a wall up between you and God. God cannot stand to be in the presence of evil and sin. God can't stand to be there. All right. And so God's going to avoid you until you deal with that sin. That's just the way it is. So it will affect your spiritual life. You'll be separated from God. You can't see him. Some of you this morning are sitting there saying, I just don't feel as connected to God. Maybe is there guilt? Is there sin? The second thing sin does to you, guilt crushes your emotional well-being. If you don't deal with that guilt, emotionally, you're going to be scarred. There's going to be some despair. There's going to be some depression. There might be pent-up anger. There might be some frustration. Emotionally, you're going to struggle if you do not deal with your guilt. It will eat away at you. It will find ways to come out of you. You ever get angry? You feel guilty? You ever get angry when you feel guilty and you're not even angry at the right person? Anybody? Yeah. See, there's results. The other one I put down here is guilt destroys your physical health. It affects you physically. Yeah. There's things called ulcers. Anybody? You know, guilt, it affects you physically. It eats away at you. It makes you sick. literally, physically. You know, as I thought about it, I thought about the first sin in the Bible. I thought about Adam and Eve as I looked at this story here. And I kind of looked at these three elements in Adam and Eve, and it was sure enough. Adam and Eve took of the tree that they were not supposed to eat of, right? You know, I think it's real easy. I think it's amazing. I didn't mean easy. I think it's amazing. God created this world and gave one commandment. One. And they couldn't even do it. Here's everything here. Just one. Don't do that one thing. They couldn't even do it. They ate of that tree. They sinned. And what did it do? It separated for them from God. What does the scripture say? They went and hid themselves, didn't they? It broke that relationship with God. All right. Emotionally, what happened? All of a sudden, they find themselves naked, and they're not comfortable with who they are. They're not comfortable with how they look. They got to cover themselves now. There's nobody there but them too. Why are they covering themselves? It's just them too. Emotionally, they were scarred. Physically, now they're going to have to work the garden. It wasn't going to just be a beautiful Eden. And when she's going to have a child, it's going to be a little painful. Or let's say, a lot painful. Sin affects us, and that guilt will eat away at us. It has results. But there's also a positive result from guilt. So I want to make sure you get a picture here. There's negative things guilt does, and there's a positive thing guilt does. Because when guilt turns into a positive way, guilt begs us to confess our sins. See, guilt begs me to go to God. God's sitting there saying, come to me. God is begging us. When I feel guilty, it's like God wants me to go to him and say, God, I've messed up. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've messed up. See, it's that motivation. It's that encouragement. See, I believe guilt is real. And I believe guilt has a good and a bad. And so guilt can either destroy, kill, and abuse me, or it can beg me to come back to God and get back in the right grace and experience with God. See, it's that motivation. It's that encouragement. There's a story of David in the scripture. David, the great king of Israel. Everybody looks, matter of fact, the scripture said David was a man after God's own heart. This is, I love the Bible because the Bible does not hide the good or the bad about people. You know, David is considered a hero, right? Would anybody say? Anybody know the story of David and Goliath? This is the guy I'm talking about. You know, David kills Goliath. You know, man after God's own heart, serving God. But we also know David as a sinner. David as a murderer. David as an adulterer. David as the great king, and yet all these things in his life. And when you look at David, David tried to hide all that. You know, if you don't know the story, kind of the background of the story is David's in this palace, his army's out fighting, he's up there, and he's looking down off his roof. It's kind of like looking at porn, watching somebody take a bath. That's what David's doing. Being a peeping Tom. And says, I want that woman. Well, he's the king. You want, you get. You know, she ends up getting pregnant. You had to murder her husband because now what are you going to do? And I'm sure nobody in town knew the story. Yeah. And so he ignored it. He just kind of left it off to the side and just kind of kicked it away. And just, you know, until God says enough is enough. But what's interesting, you know, he ignored it. Talking about a messed up life. Let's see. One son rapes his stepsister, and then her brother kills him. Then his son rebels against him and wants to take the throne away from him. And then his son runs away and gets his hair caught in a tree and hangs himself. I think he had some of the results of guilt. What do you think? You can't hide that stuff. You know, that stuff in our lives that we really don't want to talk about. At least I don't want to go up here and confess all my sins to you. I'll tell my good ones. You know. My driving, yeah, that's an easy one to talk about. But see, we try to avoid it. But God's calling us to confess. And if you recognize the story, a prophet comes to David and says, David, there's this sheep situation here. You know, there's this guy who has a bunch of sheep. And this guy over here just has one sheep. And the guy with the bunch goes and steals the one from him. And so, David, what should we do with the guy? David says, well, man, he should die. He stole the guy's sheep. Nathan goes, you're the one that did it. Oh, he's finally confronted with his sin, and he's finally looking at that sin. And we're going to look at the Psalms 51 in a minute, but I want to kind of back up a little bit to Psalms 32. And look how he says this. Finally, why don't you circle that word finally? Finally, finally, finally I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. Finally, I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. See, I see this picture. God is sitting there saying, listen, guilt is a begging to confess. It's not to destroy us. It's not to kill us. It's not to hurt us. It's not to harm us. It's God saying, confess. Come back to me. If you want to read a great Psalms, it's Psalms 51. It's the Psalms that David wrote after Nathanael the prophet had his conversation with him. And as he writes it, we're just going to kind of step through it today. And I want you to see this. You are kind, God. Please have pity on me. You are always merciful. Please wipe away my sins. Wash me clean from all my sins and guilt. I know about my sins, and I cannot forget my terrible guilt. How do I forgive myself, God? How do I forgive myself? This guilt, God, is begging me to come to you. This past, these words, these events, these situations, these circumstances, this guilt is begging me to confess. And I like this. You are kind, please, always merciful. I underline those words for me because that's what God wants. That's what God said. See, there's a result. When we sin, I'm going to tell you, when you have sin and you have guilt, it's one of four things going on in your life. And you've got to decide which it is. Is it going to hurt you physically? Is it going to draw you down physically? Is it going to mess you up in your well-being and your mind? Is it going to hurt you spiritually? You know, I feel guilty, so I'm not going to church anymore. You need to know, I've had people tell me that, all right? They don't want to come to church anymore because every time they come into church, guess what? They're just not comfortable. I wonder what the problem is. I'm a dummy. You know, we see this. Or do we see this guilt as God sitting there saying, listen, I'm here. I'm waiting for you. Come to me. Come to me. Finally, David says, finally. I like that word. It's like I've waited all this time. I've done everything else. I've ignored this. I've avoided it. I didn't want to talk about it. But finally, I come to God. See, I have this principle for my life. When I feel guilty, there's two sources. When I feel guilty, there's two sources. It's either coming from Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, or it's coming from God, calling me back to Him to get right again. When I feel guilty, it's like a checking point to stop and look back and say, what is it that's causing the problem? So I want to deal with how to deal with it. How do you deal with guilt? What are you going to do? I'm going to give you three things, and you're going to be surprised at the end when we go with this, okay? Because it surprised me where I ended up, all right? So I'm sure you're going to be surprised too. The first one's real easy. As you look at your outline, you know, it doesn't take you. How do you deal with guilt? I confess my sins. Is that hard? I admit I messed up. Now, if you are like me, it's hard to admit you mess up. Anybody? I do not make mistakes. I am 99.9% right all the time. Ask Laura. Yeah. Do we like admitting we mess up? I remember talking with a young lady one time. She worked over at Taco Bell. And she was talking about the job over there, and people would mess up, and then nobody would say they did it. And she was frustrated. Don't you? Anybody ever raise a kid? Anybody ever have children? Did anybody have, I don't know, living in their house? You know, something went wrong, something got broke, somebody did something, but I don't know, did it? You know, you ask every one of them, who did it? I don't know. Did you do it? No. You know, one of the three did it. I got three kids. Okay, I can say one of the three. Yeah. But I don't know, did it. We don't like admitting our mistakes. We don't like admitting we mess up. We don't like admitting I'm a dummy. Yeah. We don't like that. But that's what confession is. Confession is sitting there saying, I messed up. Look at David as he went on with this. This is what he says here. You are really the one I have sinned against. I have disobeyed you, and I've done wrong. He's sitting there, I sinned. I did it. So it's right. So is it right and fair for you to correct and punish me? I have sinned and done wrong since the day I was born. But you want complete honesty. So teach me true wisdom. David in this Psalms is sitting there saying, finally I confess, finally I go to God, and when I do, it's like, I've got to admit I'm a sinner. Matter of fact, I've been a sinner from the day I was born. We talked a little bit about that last week, didn't we? We talked about how we're all born a sinner. You know, you get a little baby, and they're so cute and lovey-dovey, and then they turn two. And you get the, what? How do you guys know that? Then it only gets worse when they get to be teenagers, right? Yeah. What do you do? I mean, we're all by nature sinners, and that's what David is sitting there saying. I've been my whole life. Yeah, I killed a giant. Yeah, I pulled Israel together. No, I didn't kill Saul when I had a chance a couple of times. See, remember a couple of times David had a chance to kill Saul? He didn't do it. I was good sometimes, and I was bad sometimes. We're all sinners. Anybody like that with me? Good sometimes, bad sometimes? Yeah. We're sinners. We need to confess. See, confession is, write this word, agree with God. That's what confession is. I'm just agreeing with God. Yeah, God, I am who you say I am. Yeah. And that's what confession is. It's just simply agreeing with God. And we need to do that, all of us. See, David tried to pretend. I just wonder what it must have been like in town. I think about that. Yeah. David steals this other man's wife, has this guy killed, and I'm sure there is no gossip in town, right? I moved to Salida, 30-plus years ago. I did a funeral this week, old-time Salida people. I miss old-time Salida. But there was one thing when I realized after I got to Salida, I hadn't been here very long. Let me tell you something. You never talked about anybody because everybody's related. Anybody remember that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you might go, how do they know what? Their cousins, third cousins removed. I didn't know. But everybody knew everybody's business. Yeah. You knew when somebody, it was pretty easy. You knew when somebody crossed those train tracks when they were coming home. I can imagine what it must have been like in Jerusalem when David stole this guy's wife and had him killed. I'm sure nobody knew. See, he pretended. Anybody here ever try to pretend about sin? I'll just, it wasn't that bad. Nobody's going to find out. Nobody knows. We can't avoid it. We need to confess our sins. I like this passage here, 1 John 1:9. If you've been here long, you've probably heard it many times. If you hang around long enough, you'll hear it over and over again because it's so true. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we need to do is confess our sins. Yeah. And I put a whole list of stuff here. Drugs, alcohol, greed, lying. I'm sure nobody here ever lies. Last week I had a paper that says kids learn to lie at 2 years old. And some of us teach our kids to lie. Now, I'm sure none of you ever taught your kids to lie. No one here ever said, when the phone rings, tell them I'm not here, right? You've never said that, right? Yeah. Lying is a sin. We have murder and then we have lying. Well, I'm going to tell you what. It's sin. Porn. Yeah. It's sin. Sex outside of marriage, it's sin. It's sin. See, and we try to ignore it. Well, everybody's doing it today. Right? Everybody's living together today. Yeah. Well, it's just a white lie. You know, it's not bad. You know, it's okay. Nobody's going to know. Yeah, nobody's going to know. Nobody knows, right? Yeah. We just kind of walk around like it's no big deal. Yeah. Just, yeah. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. Just look up here. Do we ever act like? Do we ever pretend? You ever play a game? You know, see, we got to come to this point where it's like, yes, God, finally, I confessed. You ever say something to get it off your chest and it feels so good? Anybody? You know, you finally say it and it's like, whew, I feel a lot better. Anybody? You know, you just, oh man, it felt so good to get that off. That's what confession is. It's saying yes. Because if you don't, I'm going to guarantee you, if you don't confess this garbage in your life, you're going to have broken families. You're going to have debt you can't get out of. I put down, you're going to have despair. You're going to have depression. You're going to run from God like Adam and Eve and try to hide. It's the church's fault. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I'm one too, but I'm not going back. Yeah. And you play these games that I'm just going to pretend. See, I want to ask you, as you wrestle with this, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you feel guilty. I don't know what it could be. That's between you and God, because I'm going to tell you, it's one of two things. Either Satan has got it on you, or God's showing you that you need to confess, and He's begging you to come and confess. Yeah. What are you going to do? But once you confess it, that's just the first part. Because this is where most of us get hung up. Most of us have no problem confessing. Well, a little bit of problem. Yeah. Sometimes quite a bit of problem. But then we don't accept God's forgiveness, because that's what I put down here next. I need to accept God's forgiveness. I got to accept it. See, it's one thing to confess it. It's quite another thing to believe God has let it go. It's quite another thing to think that God had put those drugs that were in my past in my past. That alcohol, that porn, that sexual relationships. It's another thing to accept God's forgiveness and to realize that God has taken my sins away. I want to go on. Look how David says this in Psalms 51. I love what he says here. Matter of fact, I memorized one of these verses. Wash me with hyssop until I am clean and whiter than snow. Let me be happy and joyful. You crushed my bones. That's the guilt. Now let them celebrate. The guilt has crushed me. Finally, I confess. Now let me celebrate. You get the picture of what he's saying here? Turn your eyes from my sin and cover my guilt. Create pure thoughts in me and make me faithful again. Don't chase me away from you or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Make me as happy as you did when you saved me. Make me want to obey. I see him saying, I want to accept it, God. Create in me a clean heart. I like that. I liked another part he says as he writes this 51st Psalms. Restore unto me, and this is the verses I memorized this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's that last part, verse 12. That's a different version that I've memorized. He's sitting there saying, listen, God, I'm going to accept it. I'm clean. I'm new. I'm white. You've taken that sin away. It is gone. It's no more. I've taken this and I've thrown it away. And it's gone. Now, somebody's going to have to clean up my mess. I'm looking at Evie back there. She's saying no. But who cleans up my mess? God does. See, God cleans up the mess in our lives. See, that's what God does. But we got to accept that. See, that's the hard part. You know, many times God forgive me, but then we don't accept that forgiveness. We still have that bag with us. And I want to challenge you to accept it and get rid of it. Create in me a pure heart. Restore to me the joy of that salvation. Do something special in me. I'm a new person. I am not the same person I was. I've learned from my mistakes. I've learned from those words. I've learned from those actions. I'm not going down that path again. I am a different person. And we need to accept God's forgiveness. That's what he calls us to. I like this verse right here, Psalms 103:12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. I love God because you need to know, before we discovered the world wasn't flat, God knew it wasn't. Ha ha. Yeah. I'm going to ask you, when does the east meet the west? Anybody? It never does. Laura and I drove east going all the way over. The only reason we had to stop is because we hit the Atlantic Ocean. How long could I go east? If I got a boat, I could keep going east. If I want to go west, how long can I go west? If God has said north and south, guess what? I get to the North Pole and I start going south. He's saying your sins are gone. I like, if you read Micah, I think it's Micah chapter 12, verse 9. I don't know if I put it in my notes here. Yeah, Micah 7, verse 19 or 17. You got to read the whole book to find it. He talks about casting our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And there's a song. I enjoy that song. You know, he's taken our sins and they're in the sea of forgetfulness. See, we need to accept God's forgiveness. He's removed our sins. Why don't you circle that word, removed? He's removed them. They're gone. You don't need them anymore. Here's my word to you. If you have confessed your sin and you feel guilty, then it's Satan. You hear me? If you have confessed your sin and you still feel guilty, it's Satan, because God has what? It says it right there. He's removed it. It's gone. Let me give you a little picture here for me. I confess my sins every day. Sometimes, just so you know, multiple times during the day, because it didn't take long for me to realize I already screwed up, all right? Yeah. It doesn't take long to realize I did something wrong. Maybe soon, 2 seconds after I've done it. Anybody know that one? Yeah. I confess it. And I confess it by name. This is the key. I confess it by name, and I accept God's forgiveness. But then at the evening, when I get ready to go to bed, you know what I do? I confess my sins, and I tell God this. God, if I've forgotten anything, I confess that sin to you too. Because I am sure with my minute, finite mind, there's things I did I didn't even realize. Anybody? And so I confess that. But then you know what? If I feel guilty about something I didn't name, I think God wants me to confess it by name because he wants me to learn not to do it again. So I always confess, God, forgive me for everything. But I often remember, if you're feeling guilty, confess it by name. Confess it by name. And once it's confessed by name, it's gone. It's gone. I like this. Look at what it says here. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to his riches of his glory, of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. In him, in his grace, not because I earned it, not because I deserve it, but because of who he is, I'm forgiven. How do you forgive yourself? What do? You confess it. God, I screwed up. I said blah, 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 blah. I used inappropriate words. I'm not going to say the words here. Yeah. I did inappropriate things. I viewed inappropriate things. I coveted. I don't know. Committed adultery in my head. And, the Bible calls that, lust. Yeah. Confess it. And then accept God's forgiveness. Let it go. But many times we struggle here. We struggle with this. God's forgiven me of my drugs, but I just, God's forgiven me of my past and the sex, and God's forgiven me of greed, and God's forgiven me of lying, but we still can't get over it. Let me tell you, here's the last one. This is surprising. As I was working on the message, I wasn't sure where it was going as I was writing it. Because as I come to this point, I never really thought about this. But I put it this way in your notes. I serve God through his grace. You know what? If I want to know God has forgiven me, I need to get busy with God. I need to get involved with God. I need to get involved with what God is doing. As I read this 51st Psalms, I had never really thought much about how David wrote this. But as I read this 51st Psalms, I seen David saying, yes, God, finally I'm confessing. Yes, God, I've done this. And yes, God, I've accepted your forgiveness. I'm a clean heart. I'm a new person. I've changed. But look at what he says after that. I will teach sinners your law, and they will return to you. Keep me from any deadly sin. Only you can save me. Then I will shout and sing about your power to save. Help me to speak, and I will praise you, Lord. Offerings and sacrifices are not what you want. The way to please you is to feel sorry deep in our hearts. This is a kind of sacrifice you want. You won't refuse. I see David sitting there saying, listen, God, I've confessed. You've given me a clean heart. Now I'm going to serve you. I want to tell you, if you want to know you're really forgiven, you start serving God. You plug into what God is doing. You see God doing something, you jump in it. You get involved in it. You take part in it. You join God. If you want to know for sure you're forgiven, you join God. See, that's what David, I look at this. Then I looked at Paul. I got another passage that I got from Paul, and as I read this, I never thought about it this way. A lot of times we'll go and we'll confess our sins, and God, yes, I've sinned, and I accept God's forgiveness, and then we sit down, and we just go back to life the way it was, and we just keep going on, and we wonder why I can't get over it. Why does it keep popping up? Because you're not serving God. See, I want to challenge you this morning. As you wrestle with this, how come I still feel guilty? Have you confessed it? Have you accepted God's forgiveness? Are you serving him? Look at Paul. Look at Paul. Now, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But look at what he says here. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who gave me strength because he trusted me and gave me this work of serving him. In the past, I spoke against Christ and persecuted him and did all kinds of things to hurt him. But God showed me mercy because I did not know what I was doing. I did not believe. But the grace of the Lord has fully given to me, and with that grace came the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Do you see the picture of what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I was a sinner. I am a sinner, but I'm serving God. I look at my life and I look at the stuff I did. I look at how I was raised and the decisions I made and where I was living my life and where I was going with my life. And I sometimes wonder, why in the world would God call me? Why in the world would God use me? And it's not because of me, it's because of him. And because he did that, you know what? He must have took all that garbage out of my life. Otherwise, it couldn't use me. Otherwise, he wouldn't use me. See, I want to challenge us. If you want to feel free from sin, you want to feel free from guilt, you want to feel that I can get past my past, start serving God. Get involved with God. That's what Paul did. See, I think a lot of us, we accept God's, we confess our sins, we accept God's forgiveness, and then we sit around. And our mind goes through all sorts of hoops and all sorts of trash. And it goes over and it rewinds our past. And it keeps replaying our past because we're not creating a future by serving God. Does that make sense? See, I wrestle with it. I never thought about this when I read that 51st Psalms. David says, "So finally I confess, finally I go to God. He cleansed me. He washed me as white as snow. He restored the joy of the salvation. And then I started serving him and telling others of his grace and mercy." You know you're saved. See, I want to challenge us with that. I like this. Look at the Psalms, Ephesians. "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." It's saying God has called you and he's going to use you. It's saved by God. You know how I always say this in church? You know, if you want to be a Christian, I make this as plain as I can every week for you guys and for anybody that's in the church. You know, it's not a matter of walking an aisle and shaking some preacher's hand. It's not a matter of getting baptized. You know, it's not a matter of doing all things good and I'm a good person. Those are nice, but they don't save you. They don't change your heart. What changes your heart, and you know where I'm going, you've been here long enough, you reach a point in your life where you just say something along this line: "God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control." That's the experience God wants for us. Something along that line where you surrendered your life. "God, I've messed up my life. I admit and confess I haven't done life very well the way I've handled it. I want you to come in and create a clean heart in me and restore the joy of salvation in me. And then I'm going to serve you." See, I want to challenge us with that. You know, I want to challenge you this morning. Are you serving him? You know, as I wrote the message, and last night I was kind of just making some final notes on the message, and it's like, do I really want to go? It's not a message on service. It's a message on guilt. But wait a minute. If I'm going to get over my guilt in my life, I'm going to serve him. And guess what? If you're serving him, you won't feel guilty because he's taking care of it because you don't have time. Here's my rule in my life. You know, if I'm busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't have time to do what I'm not supposed to. That's the way I look at my life. There's a bar down the street from Laura's house where she grew up, and I always thought the bar was a perfect name, Idle Hour. Yeah. But we couldn't find a better name, you know, idling time. You're going to get in trouble, right? We try to keep anybody? I'm going to keep my kids busy. Keep them in baseball and football and this event and that event and that event. You want to keep them busy so they don't get in? See, you guys know it. That we grew up as adults and we can do what we want, right? Yeah. I heard an interesting story this week. One of the sermons I listened to several sermons here. I don't remember which preacher it was. Talking, guy was 22 years old and he was talking with God and praying, and God was ticked at him. Now, I don't know if God gets ticked at us. I could see him getting ticked at me sometimes. Yeah. God was ticked at him, and he's going, "Why are you ticked at me? I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to follow you. I'm doing everything you asked me to do. Why are you ticked at me?" And God says, "I know what you're going to do when you're 45. Wait a minute. God knows what I'm going to do. And yet he still wants to use us. Think about that. God knows, you know, God knows the sin you're going to do. Yeah. Now, you know, well, God, you didn't even give me a chance. I can give you all the chances you want, but I know what you're going to do. See, God knows what we're going to do, but he still wants to use us. See, that's when you really know you're forgiven, is when God is using you. When God is accomplishing things in your life, you really know that you're forgiven. When God has moved you and God has called you and God has pushed you and God has shoved you and you're involved in what God is doing, you really know you're forgiven because God's not going to do that if you're not. Does that make sense? So my challenge to you this morning, if you want to feel forgiven, if you want to feel like my past is the past, serve God. Confess it, accept it, and then serve God. That's what David did. God, finally, I've confessed, I've sinned, I've done it, God. Yes, I messed up. Cleanse me, wash me. I want a new heart. Give me a clean heart. And now, God, I'm serving you. See, I think what gets us in trouble as Christians is we confess and we accept that we sit. And then we wonder what's wrong. Why do I feel like this? Why is this always happening to me? So I challenge you, if you look at your outline, I put it this way. I feel guilty when God wants me to confess my sin. Real simple. I feel guilty when God wants me to confess my sin. Confess it. Accept His forgiveness and serve Him. That's what I feel guilty. Or I feel guilty when Satan wants to vanquish my life. When Satan doesn't want you to serve God. When Satan doesn't want you to be a part of what God is doing. See, guilt comes from one of two things. It's either Satan or God. And what's amazing to think about, I never thought about it, but I was hearing this guy preach and I heard this tell that story. 22 years old, that when I was 17, God knew what I was going to do when I'm 59. He knows what I'm going to do when I'm 80. If Lord lets me live that long. You know, He knows, and yet He still wants to use me. What's amazing to me is He still wants to use me. Even though He knows I'm going to be stupid. Now, I'm not stupid, but I do stupid things. You know? And so God just wants me to confess. Yeah, that's all. He's just calling me. So this morning, I want to challenge you this morning. I put it this way, put me in. In your little folder, when you open it up, there's a little, was it pink? Anybody? Pink. There's a pink piece of paper. Put your name on it. Put your email address. Put your phone number on it. Because I want to put you in the game. If you want to feel forgiven, I'm going to tell you, confess it. Accept God, and then put yourself in. Get in the game. So I want to challenge you this morning with several things. I wrestled with this, like I said, this didn't happen until 1 o'clock this morning. Now, we need people in this church to serve in the nursery. We need people to help in the nursery. All right, now, I'm going to be honest, you're going to have to get screened, so if you got it passed, God forgives you, but maybe the courts won't. So we'll do a background check. We need people in the children's work. So I want you to put your name on that. I want you to put your phone number. I want you to put your email address. And I want you to give it to April. April's got to take a break. Why is April going to take a break? Anybody know why April's going to take a break? Oh, she's pregnant. She's going to have to take a break in the nursery. We're going to need some help in there. Now, I'm not saying you have to run it, but if you would like to help watch these little children, you know, my clue is this. Get them when they're babies. You know, work in them when they're the babies, because when they get to become toddlers, let somebody else. No, never mind, don't do that. In the terrible twos, we still need you in there. Yeah. But I want you to give that paper to April. You say, April, here's this. And she'll pass it on, and we'll get you a reference check, and we'll get you checked in. If you want to work with the children, we got Awana's coming up. And we got children's ministries. You see Charlotte and you see Tina. Give it to them and say, I'll help. I'll help. You want to work with Awana's? Give it to Stephen. Now, did you write your name? Anybody? Did you guys write your name on it? You're looking at me. I didn't pay attention. I see somebody waving theirs around. Write your name. I'm not playing around, all right? I'm serious. You're going to walk out of here and somebody's going to call me this week. I'm feeling guilty. Did you put it in? I'm going to ask you. I'm not. If you don't think you can do anything else, let's say you just, I don't know what I can do. Can you pray? You give that paper to Martha and say, Martha, and you circle either the email or the phone number and say, Martha, I'll pray. And she'll send you a text or she'll have somebody call you on that and say, hey, somebody called in a prayer request. We can, I get people asking for prayer and we put it on a prayer list. And you give it to Martha. You want to be part of Love Salida and changing Salida and serving in Salida and turning Salida upside down? Give it to Dan. You want to go to the gospel mission? Hey, how about, can I get one Wednesday a month from you? One Wednesday a month to go to the gospel mission and serve at the God. Is that asking a lot? Give it to Delmyra or Crystal. Just say, hey, because they get a text message. What's funny, Delmyra sent out a text message. There'd be about seven names. It goes to like seven, eight people. You know how many people respond? Me. I'll be there. I'm waiting for everybody. I'm waiting for my phone. I hate group messages. Anybody hate them? I hate group messages. But I'm the only one. So it's not bad. But I feel bad for Delmyra. Her and Crystal put this thing together. One night, one Wednesday a month, the fourth Wednesday. Is it the fourth? I don't think it's always it's the fourth. Sometimes it's the last. Sometimes there's five Wednesdays. Listen, if you're going to walk around and feel guilty, I'm going to let you, okay? Because I'm not going to take any excuses. All right? That's your fault. It's your fault. If you cannot forgive yourself, it's your fault. You have nobody to blame but yourself. Because God is sitting there with his arms. You know when he died on the cross, guess where his arms were? So I'm going to ask you, will you get in? Will you get in? Are you going to wander around? Got my garbage with me. Nobody see it. You know what's funny? As a pastor, I know a lot of stories. It's so much fun. But think about what God knows. I like this last verse here. I put it in a big box because I wanted you to catch it. I have not reached my goal. This is Paul. I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I've already arrived, but I forget what is behind and struggle with what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Jesus Christ has done. I want to challenge you this morning. If you come in here with guilt, you come in here with the past, you come in here with a struggle, you come in here this morning and there's just something in you that you just can't seem to shake, I want to ask you this morning, will you confess it? Just right now where you're at, just confess it. Just agree with God. God, yeah, I did blah, blah, blah. You don't need to tell me. But if you want, I'll be here. The Bible says, confess to one another. Sometimes we need that to help encourage us, to hold us accountable. And then accept his forgiveness. Just say, yes, God, thank you. Cleanse me, wash me, created me a clean heart. And then serve him. If you sit on the sideline, I'm going to tell you something. You will always feel guilty. I'm serious. Until you put yourself in the game, you're going to feel guilty. So I challenge you this morning. Are you set free? Are you free? Are you free? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a merciful God. Though you know us, you still love us. Though you know what I'm going to do tomorrow, you know the words that have come out of my mouth. You know the thoughts that have flashed through my mind. You know the actions that will flow forth. You love us, and all you ask is that we confess, that we simply admit the truth, that we all fall short, that we're all sinners. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some battles you want me to pray for. Maybe there's some struggles, and maybe there's some guilt that you just haven't been able to shake. If you want me to pray for you, just shoot your hand up. I'll pray for you. Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see the hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands that shot up. There's burdens on their hearts. There's struggles in their midst, and they come to you to be set free. Finally, we come into your presence, God. Wash clean. Create in them a clean heart. Restore unto them the joy of salvation. And then let us serve you and be a part of what you're doing. Lord, touch their hearts. Encourage their spirits. Strengthen their souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.